Lexicon. The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God, the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You are not alone. This is Wretched Radio. To whom am I speaking? The moms and the dads, and that is a plural, the moms and the dads who have been ghosted. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if I mentioned I was in Daytona Beach at the Cornerstone Conference over the weekend, flew back Saturday so that we could be in our own church on Sunday morning. Because I got to tell you something, when I'm away for a week from my church, things ain't right. If you are not faithfully attending and joining and serving in a local church, your life is out of whack. That's the theological term. It ain't right. Church, among other things, it sets the trajectory for your week. It just does. It's like a weekly reset. Okay, in case I've been forgetting that the world is not my home, in case my eyes have been seeking after idols, in case my priorities have been confused. Oh yeah, it's about God and his son, Jesus Christ. That is what you get when you go to church on Sunday. So please, I had the most delightful experience. What an encouraging thing happened on Sunday at our church. We'll say a person. We're going to keep this individual gender free. Spent a little time chatting with me in the lobby. 27 years old. Do you know why that person was there? Because they knew that they needed to be in a fellowship. They knew it. And it was a drive, and it was no small effort, but they did it. Because they realized that church is central to the Christian life. Obviously, Jesus is central to our life. But as far as the operation of our Christian life, it's the church, it's the church, it's the church. That is the only ordained institution that Jesus gave for your edification with other people. He did not include social media. Now, that doesn't mean, obviously, that broadcast, radio, TV, whatever, can't be beneficial and feed us, but it pales in comparison to what you receive in the context of your local church. Because here's what you and I can't do together. We can't do the one another's together. Now, to a degree, we can. I love you. You love me. We're a special fam. Sorry about that. So we in a sense can do that, but not together. I can't serve you beyond talking. I can't hold a door for you. I can't help you carry stuff from your car. I can't listen to you when your heart is heavy because you have a prodigal child. And that is what I was reminded of at the Cornerstone Conference. The moms and the dads who have prodigal children who have ghosted them. We were on the panel on the first day, I think. And Brandon, who was one of the organizers of the Cornerstone Conference, and I really do have to point out, this was very obvious. The Cornerstone Radio, Cornerstone Church, I kept meeting people that were from that ministry. And I was struck by how nice each of them was. Not just like a little nice. They were like really nice. It was like, I don't know what they're doing there, but it's something good because, wow, the fruit is shining. And as Brandon asked the question about parents with prodigal kids, I said to the moms and the dads who have been ghosted, you need to take yourself off of the hook that the Lord does not have you on. And that hook is, I'm responsible for my child's wanderings. I'm responsible for my child's rejection of the faith. Let me state this lovingly and emphatically. No, you're not. No, you're not. And that should be good news for you. We're called to be faithful. Did you do it perfectly? Oh, of course we didn't do it perfectly. regrets. You have a few, but those sins that you committed against your kids, are those somehow outside of the grace of Jesus Christ? Do you not have those sins forgiven? So those, there's a special column in God's judicial book. All of your other sins forgiven, but your parenting mess, I'm gonna hang that over your head. He doesn't do that. Why are you doing that? You are not your child's Holy Spirit. You can't get your kids saved. You parented imperfectly. So if you've repented of those sins, are you not cleansed of those sins? Are you not forgiven by Jesus, the righteous? Why then do you feel like you are responsible for your child's autonomous decision? It's on them. If they've decided, I don't like Jesus, that isn't because of you. That is them. You preach the gospel to them. They know the gospel. They've rejected it. I know it hurts. I know it does. It stings. Perhaps the deepest wound that can be inflicted on a parent is when a child rejects their faith and then rejects them. So I simply mentioned that. And then the Q&A was done. And wow, did parents find me, one after another, experiencing the ghosting of their children. This is a big issue inside of the church. So let me perhaps state some obvious observations. Pastor, please don't overlook this. I promise you, if you have 100 people in your church and you're looking out, you've probably got a dozen parents with kids who have gone astray, or they're just not doing it the way that we think that they should be doing it. And that's a subject for another day. Even so, we need to be addressing those parents who are hurting, and we need to remind them, hey, God does not hold you responsible for the status of your child's soul. They're responsible. Remember Ezekiel 18, your sins, their sins, their sins. Can you rest in that, mom and dad? I think that the pastor should be addressing this because, pastor, I think this is a big issue. The number of emails that I get when we just meet folks and chat, at the Cornerstone Conference, the number of parents who were like, I'd never heard the term ghosting before, and that's what's happening to us. One fellow saying, is that what my child is doing? Is my child ghosting me? And it sounded like his child was ghosting him. Because this is a plague inside of the church. I think it's fostered by our society. I think the world and, frankly, cell phones. Mrs. Friel was just telling me this morning that she was reading an article about a school that decided to ban the cell phones, and they're like 2 days into it because school just started. Must be someplace in the Midwest because we wait until after Labor Day to start school in the Midwest, as opposed to the South, which basically, okay, happy Independence Day, get to school, kids. The kids didn't have their cell phones for 2 days, and guess what? They were loving it. They were chatting. They were playing board games. And they didn't feel like this monster was on their back. Cell phones, I think, are destroying, not the only thing, but they're one of the major contributors to the deconstruction of our society. Because they feed the kids the siren song of autonomy. And that, remember, if somebody disagrees with you, furthermore, if they don't agree with you, furthermore, if they don't affirm you, furthermore, if they don't praise you, they're committing a crime against you. That's why this language is so foreign to us. What do you mean committing a crime? What are you talking about? I told them to clean up their room because it's a mess. And they're like, oh, you people are terrible. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I can't wait to be out of here. What just happened? In their mind, you committed a crime. Why? Because expressing their innards on the outside, that is the bravest thing that anybody can do. And if somebody doesn't affirm and praise that, then you're doing the worst thing that you can do to that person. They're macroaggressions. And they feel like you're a toxic person. They need to put up boundaries and fences, and out you go. And then when they leave the home, you're just left in the dust. And this is something that is happening in the church a lot. So to the pastor, I would encourage you, preach about it. To the parent, I would say, take you off of to yourself off of the hook that God does not have you on. And if you are a young person, I'm begging you to not be what the Bible describes the child who does not treat his parents with honor. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Your parents are sinners. They're not toxic people. They're sinners. And your parents, whether they express it well or not, they will do anything for you. That's why they don't give you a pass on some of the stuff that you want to do, because they care too much for you. You ain't got nobody like that in your corner. Nobody comes close. Your friends will abandon you in a heartbeat. When the sirens go off and the law comes chasing after you, look around. Where are your friends? They're gone. But it's your parents who will show up at the pokey to provide bail for you. Why? Because your parents love you. And if you don't honor them, you're a fool. And here's the upside. If you do honor them, you will be blessed. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers, because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Question: what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn from death, resurrected that we may have life, and He is the firstborn over all creation, the preeminent Son, through whom we are adopted as sons and daughters of God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Tried but failed. Friel again? Hey, this is Wretched Radio. I tried to find something, you know, kind of unique, another way of saying, hey, did I mention I was in Florida at the Cornerstone Conference this weekend? So I went to the YouTube machine looking for some Florida music. Who is Florida music? It's Jimmy Buffett. Could I find a song that didn't have something to do with getting drunk or having sex? No, I couldn't. So instead, you get me being obnoxious. Hey, did I mention I was in Florida at the Cornerstone Conference this weekend? After the Q&A about home life, Brandon, one of the organizers of the conference, asked the panel about marriage and what the church might be able to do to help young people want to get married, because right now it ain't happening and it's not. And I'm telling you, this could easily become my thing. This could be the hobby horse that I just ride and ride. And that is the danger of the cell phone. I'm telling you, it's goofing up our kids. I've gotten to the point where it's not every kid, of course, but most kids, we're losing them, and we got to go find them, and we've got to help them to understand that life isn't what you curate on your cell phone, the messages that you receive, not to mention the subliminal message that you just have everything that is aligned perfectly with your preferences in this moment. Otherwise, you ghost them and they're toxic if they don't suit you in the moment. And I think the kids are also feeling the burden, the weight of social media. It's a gorilla on their backs. They got to make sure that they're keeping up their social media appearances. And they got to make sure that nobody's talking about them, not to mention all of the temptations that are on them. I was, sorry for bringing this up, but I was reading an article last night. I probably have it somewhere in my pile that it's a thing Jimmy, do you know the name of the website thing or however it works? Open where you can put videos of yourself that people pay to watch you doing sinful things and inappropriate things. It's whatever that thing is called. Apparently you can make a lot of money doing, sexual things and whatever that thing is called. And I think it was a Fox News report. They said this is a massive trend because of the school debt and the expense of going off to university, which is why you should check out the Masters University. Incidentally, oodles, scholarships. Now is the time to check out Masters U if you never have. Visit masters.edu because they will do anything they can to help you get you there or your child there. Universities, some of these kids are coming out with $500,000 in debt. So they use whatever this platform is to sell their bodies. And it's a way that they're making a living. And it, like, beyond, like, what are we doing to our kids? Why aren't we stopping this? We're just trashing our children. And we're losing. We have lost virtually an entire generation. This cell phone, it just needs to be brought under control. Mom and Dad, to you, I say, I know you got yourself a battle on your hands. So in the context of the Q&A, talking about family and marriage, what we can do to make it better, a young man came up to me afterwards and he said, hey, I got some questions. And he took his cell phone where he'd written them down. And I was like, oh, dude, these are so good. These are so good. So he sent them to me. There are young men out there who want to get married and who are trying. There are young men who are godly. I know it's probably, I don't think anybody has any sort of Barna-like statistic on this, but it seems that there are more godly young women than godly young men, but that is not to say there are no godly young men. Listen to the questions this dude asked. What are some things I should look for in myself to gauge my preparedness for marriage? Dude, well played. Answer to the question? You can look a little, but I think somebody else should look a lot. In other words, have people who know you point out to you the good stuff, where you're excelling, and maybe where you need a little exercise. Who are those people who can do it? You perhaps think my family, that might be a little challenging. Okay, how's about your church family? How's about you ask people, hey, what do you see in me? Are there areas where you think I can grow? Are there areas that you think I've made some progress in? I think every young man should do that because it will help you to advance. Because I think one of the best things that a young man can do in preparedness for marriage is to pretend he's married. Not like, you know, some weird, I'm imagining that there's a woman in my home. Instead, that you are imagining, you are acting like a husband no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. So even as a student who is single, you can act like a married man in that you comport yourself in a way that says you're responsible. You are striving for godliness. You are wanting to put others first. Those are all of the attributes that you should be working on before you get married. Question number two. How do I prepare as a young man for fatherhood/husbandhood? Well, I would tell this young man, you've made a really great start here, and I don't imagine that this is just the beginning of your quest to be a good husband and father. Sounds like it started a while ago. And he's wise. If you happen to be younger, these questions that you're hearing, these are wisdom questions right here. These are questions of somebody who's desiring to be wise, not smart necessarily, but to be wise. And wisdom is knowledge applied. You want that. You should be asking these questions too. What can you do to prepare for fatherhood and husbandhood? Act like a father and a husband today. Grow in godliness. Spiritual stuff first, then take a look at things like, am I working hard? Am I storing up money? What is my trajectory so that I can provide well for wife and children? You can start doing that now. Question number three, how do I look for a wife in today's age? Okay, this is something no doubt every godly young man and woman has tried. And if they're still single, it has failed them. Church. Start in your church. Are you at a Christian university? Make it a goal to leave with a diploma and a spouse. I'm not kidding. Because chances are very good you'll never be in a denser context where you have so many different opportunities to meet a young man or a young woman. So use those years. Make it like every day be asking, am I comporting myself? Am I doing the things? Am I being observant? Am I looking around? And something that you might want to work on too is the fear that it seems so many young men possess these days. Don't be scared. Dude, this is knight in shining armor business. Go find that damsel. Go get her. And you might get rejected. Yep, it happens. And Jimmy, you know what? I've heard that being rejected is really awful.
You've heard that?
Yeah. just rumors that I've no experience, mind you.
Yeah.
Go get her, dude. Go get her. Think of it as a quest because it is a quest. You want something manly to do? Be mindful of finding a spouse. Having said all of that, I'm afraid social media is just simply on the table these days. And it's a mess. It's just a mess. The stories that I have heard from young women about the young men who claim to be Christians and then reveal very quickly they are not. So be careful. Use it. Use it judiciously. Use it perhaps with others helping you because you might develop some patterns that don't help you to actually identify somebody that might be a good match. But you're going to have to use the social media. Just be very, very careful. And finally, what do I look for in a wife? You look for what the Bible says. Period. Check those boxes. Those are the boxes. You want godly. You want somebody who loves the Lord more than they're ever going to love you. You want somebody who wants to be with King Jesus for eternity and is looking for somebody to walk with on that journey. That's what you're... So read your Proverbs 31. Look for that woman. Now you say, well, what about personality and such? I say, the Lord doesn't say that you find somebody who checks all of the Proverbs 31 boxes, therefore you have to marry that woman. No, he doesn't do that. There are preference issues, but be careful. Be careful. If everything that you kind of prefer doesn't align perfectly with your desires, be careful how quickly you disqualify somebody. Be careful of that. Because social media has been telling you, perfect! That person needs to be perfect! You're not going to find that person. And guess what? Nobody's going to find that in you either. So make sure you're checking the Bible boxes. You can have preferences, but they should be in that order of priority. And one last thing, pray like a nobody's business. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.